on It's Supernatural. Did you know that your spirit man can taste, touch, smell, see, and hear? John Fenn received a supernatural visitation. The Messiah appeared to him and taught him how to activate the five spiritual senses.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. And just before we went on the air, I felt such an awesome presence of God. This is going to be spectacular in the miraculous, this show. My guest is John Fenn, and John had an encounter with Jesus in which Jesus literally taught him how to activate his five, not natural, but five spiritual senses. This happened in Mexico, and when John received this revelation teaching from Jesus, you can't get much better than that, on activating your spiritual senses, his spiritual senses opened up, and wherever he goes, it's transferable. That's why I'm so excited. But John, it didn't just happen to you. God prepared you for a long time. As a young person, you wanted to understand how people in the Bible could have their spiritual senses activated.
Yeah, it actually began my search for the Father when my own dad left. And when I was born again about 4 years earlier, I really wanted to touch his realm. To fellowship with the Father. And that led me to studying, especially the Old Testament, where Adam and Eve clearly could see both in the spiritual realm and the natural. I mean, the Lord put Adam in the garden. He did his surgery on Adam and brought Eve over to him. So they could see both in the spiritual realm and the natural realm. And then I read in 1 Kings chapter 6, where the prophet Elisha, who was surrounded with a Syrian army, and his servant was afraid. And he said, Lord, open up his eyes so that he can see what I see.
I love that line, open up his eyes.
Open up his eyes. And that's what happened to me during that visitation. And then it began forming in me, I'm talking about 16 years old when I was born again, that the book of Acts was normal Christianity. And there are lots of experiences with angels and
I just want to be normal. I think you just want to be normal too. John, there was one moment where someone had a word of knowledge because you had been trying to understand healing and you knew that word was for you. Tell me about the first person you prayed for.
Well, actually, yes, for 2 or 3 months, the word revelation just kept coming about healing. There was no practical application until one Sunday night, and I was still a teenager. And the leader, who was also a teenager, had a word of knowledge. And he just said, the Lord has been teaching somebody about healing, and now's the time to do it. And I was really scared. In fact, at first, I mean, there's only 10 or 12 of us in that living room, but I was a little nervous. But finally, I raised my hand, and another teenager with severe scoliosis was there as well. And the leader said, now's the time to do it. Heal her. And this young girl, she was kind of nervous too. She was markedly...
But you were more nervous.
I was. But she had one shoulder that was lower than the other. And I just had her turn around, and I just about her waist, I said, put my fingertip and just going up the back of her spine, just said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And then stepped back. And it was like a terrier shaking a rat. Something got a hold of her spine, and it just went all the way up, and she just stood up, and that shoulder just leveled out, and she was just ecstatic. She was bending over and twisting and things.
What was going on with that young teenager, you?
I thought, this is really neat. In fact, there was such an anointing that from that time on, for 2 solid weeks, anybody that I laid hands on for 2 weeks straight got healed immediately.
Now, God told you that was actually a preview
That's right.
Explain that.
It's after 2 weeks, and I had laid hands on a neighbor who busted up his elbow going through a door. My own mother with a sore leg that she had bruised. But it shut off just as quickly after 2 weeks. And I was praying. I said, Father, what was this? And he said, I just want to give you a preview of what you're going to be walking in later.
And let me tell you, he's really walking in it right now. Tell me about that Navajo pastor.
Well, that was actually the very first time I saw the Lord. It was in April of 86. And I was an associate pastor, unpaid position. And I was sitting at the back because my wife and I had a child, our youngest, still in the nursery. Mm-hmm. No one was in our row. And in the middle of worship, I had my eyes shut, I had my hands up, I was worshiping, and suddenly my head turned. And this is important to understand, my spirit man's head turned. My body is still there, but I turned and I saw Jesus walk in the back of the church. And he stood at the end of the row and he said, come with me. And it was one of those experiences where at the time I didn't know if I was in the body or out of the body. I just knew I walked down the row, went up the aisle, stood in front of a Navajo pastor who was the only one in the congregation sitting down during the worship service. And Jesus stepped to the side and he said, I have a word for him and I'd like you to give it to him. And this was a pastor that our church supported, so he was just visiting. But I looked at him and I said, Lord, you're here. And long before it ever became a motto, he just looked at me and said, just do it. And so I put forth my hand and put it on this pastor, and there was a prophecy that came forth. Just a word of encouragement and appreciation, how much the Lord loves him. And as that prophecy, as that word started trailing off, it was like somebody shutting off a faucet, gradually just trailing off. The Lord, who's about 5'11", and I'm 6'6", melted somehow to fill my space. And as he did that, he said, remember my son, when you lay hands on a person in my name, it's as if I am laying hands on that person. And instantly, I was back at my, standing next to my wife with my hand up.
If I'm understanding you right, your spirit man walked out of your body and walked up to this pastor to prophesy.
It was just like Paul spoke about. He said, whether in the body or out, I don't know, but I went to paradise. It was kind of like that. It wasn't until after I was back that I realized, and checked with my wife. She said, you never left my side.
Well, when we come back, John Fenn was in Mexico and the Messiah of Israel visited him and activated and taught on how he can activate the five spiritual senses. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, it's Sid Roth here with John Fenn. John Fenn was in Mexico, and he had a visitation from the Messiah of Israel, Jesus. Tell me what you saw, what happened, John.
Well, I was minding my own business. That's probably the biggest thing to know right off the bat.
It wasn't. You weren't particularly spiritual.
I wasn't trying to visualize anything. My two friends were on up ahead. I was kind of lingering behind. In fact, I was looking down at the rocks in the road, making sure I wasn't twisting my ankle. But suddenly inside of me, there was an excitement in my spirit, man. Not a like butterflies being nervous, but there was an excitement. And I didn't know what that was. It was like the presence of God, but it was much stronger. And finally, I turned the corner, and I was contemplating, what is that? What is that? And suddenly up out of me, I heard, it's Jesus. And when I did that, my head raised up, and there about 15 feet away, Jesus was standing right in a bend of the little road. And I was so startled. I looked at him. I said, what are you doing here? And he looked at me and said,
that would not be what I would say.
No, but go ahead. It was a surprise. And he said, I'm here to meet the needs of the village. Hmm. And I said, well, how can I help? And he looked at me and said, meet the needs of the village. And some other things were said. And then he said, I want to teach you how to hear the voice of the Father and know the ways of the Spirit. And that began about a 45 or 50 minute teaching time where he explained to me just the things of the Spirit, about what we were talking about earlier, where the spirit man is really the eternal part of us. Our spirit and soul are eternal. And when somebody, for instance, goes to heaven, it's their spirit and soul, which is in heaven. And he pointed to the very first example was in Luke chapter 16, where two men had died. One man ended up in hell, the other man in paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And he began teaching me. He said, notice, he said, their bodies are dead and buried, but they saw each other, they heard each other, they spoke to one another. One wanted water because of the torment of the flame. And he said this, he said, the root of your senses is actually in your spirit man. And he started giving me different examples of life, how I had not realized that, but operated in it. And I think this is what happens with many of our viewers. When the Lord started talking to me about this and teaching me, I realized, well, this is very common. That, let me give you an example. There was a particular store that my wife and I knew, and we had been in there, and there was just a heavy feeling there. And we recognized that as a wrong spirit. And the Lord pointed that out, and he said, how did you know that? And I said, it didn't feel right. And he said that the Bible uses the word perceive and discern. And he said, that describes the process by which your mind picks up on what is happening in your spirit. And that's what happened. We walked in and our mind was like a teeter-totter. You take in the physical senses, but also you check on the inside, not with just physical, but the inside of you, and sense that the spiritual atmosphere.
Well, for instance, when I go into a store and someone is involved in perhaps New Age or involved in other things like that, I can literally feel something.
Yes.
Or witchcraft.
Right. And that's and what he pointed out to me is that that spirit man is how we make contact with the spiritual realm. In other words, there are people who say that they have had, the world uses the word premonition maybe, and you see different things, premonition, or they have a hunch, someone has a peace about something that they're doing, or that it doesn't feel right. All those are senses in the spirit man. And when he began teaching me all this, I began realizing that all through my life, I'd moved in elements of it, but it took on a whole nother dimension, a whole nother level. Through his teaching. And he referred to examples in his own life. For instance, one of the examples he used from his own life was when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment. And Luke 8 tells us that he was hemmed in and pushed and thronged and mobbed by a group of people, but he stopped and he said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples are like, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. But he said, no, I felt power leave me. I felt power go out of me. And then that woman, being afraid, came forward and said, I got healed. And so what he told me, he said, you have to train yourself, even mobbed with all your physical senses in operation. He said, notice how I trained myself to perceive what was happening in my spirit, and I felt that power go out of me. He said, I want you to train yourself to do that same thing.
You also have a gift of discernment, which you can see what's going on in the invisible world. Right now, on this set, can you see anything, and if so, what?
Several angels. And it's not something that I initiate. It's something that just happens, the discerning of spirits. And you know, as we even visited over a meal earlier, there was an angel. And a lot of the words of knowledge I receive come from angels. And this is completely scriptural. Some people don't understand it, but when the angel appeared to Cornelius in his household, or even the angels at the tomb of Jesus, they gave them words. They gave them instructions. And words of knowledge, or words of wisdom, are what that's called. And so a lot of the words of knowledge I receive for people oftentimes come through the angel. And it's always this. It's always something like the Father wants them to know.
Now, do you have a personal angel?
I have one that I have seen shortly after this visitation in 1986 is when it began, and been walking it the last 25 years.
And do you see your angel all the time near you?
Not all the time, but okay. It's very often when it's unusual to go more than a week or so without seeing him. I had an incident, for instance, one time I didn't see him for 2 weeks straight. And suddenly he was there, and I said, where have you been? And he said, in the same way you take sleep for refreshment, we go to the throne. And I said, well, I hope everything was okay while you were gone for 2 weeks. And I insulted him, and he looked very serious, and he said, I would not have left unless everything was taken care of.
That's a good feeling.
That's a good feeling. But it made me realize there's a whole different perspective that they have.
I love it, the way spiritual senses can be activated. And John has such an anointing for this. He actually had an experience with heaven and found things out that you'll be fascinated with. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with John Fenn, and my guest, John, went to heaven. He's provoking me to jealousy, but some of the things he saw, I think they'll fascinate you. Tell me about that time that you went to heaven in 91.
Well, I was, again, minding my own business, just praying in the church. I was all alone, on my knees, actually, and my hands lifted up, and I saw what I describe as my angel's arm in the middle of the air from about the elbow down, and he said, take hold of my hand. And when I did that, I saw my left arm come up out of my body, grab hold of his hand, and then we were gone. In fact, it was...
Well, was there any fear at all in this experience? I mean, it's unknown.
It's unknown.
Uncharted waters.
When you're, you know, the presence of the Lord is such that even if he's delivering bad news, there's a peace that goes with it.
I see.
And so I was already in prayer, and there was a peace. There was a little uncertainty in my mind, like, what is this? But we were going so fast that by the time I had the idea to turn around and try to find our church and our little town, I could not even see the earth. It was going through space. The distances are so vast. Sometimes you think when you're out there that they're going to get closer, but it's the same. And I was looking around, and then I felt a deacceleration. And I looked up as I was holding onto his hand, and suddenly there was this huge walled, we're coming up almost on the corner, about 20, 22 stories high. And we came up over the edge, over the wall, and I saw all sorts of buildings, all sorts of architecture from all over the world, all different ages, wide streets, narrow streets, and landed, just stepped down in grass that was about halfway up my shin.
How'd that feel?
I don't know that there was a feeling to it. It was all, I was taking it all in. This was all,
right.
It was both comforting and yet fascinating and amazing. And so on our right was a wall, a low wall, and homes and different things like that. And in front of us was what I would say the tributary or the river of life itself, about 50 feet wide, with grass growing right down to its side, right down to the water's edge. And in the distance, some hills and trees and such. And what was fascinating was the whole place just vibrated and moved with the presence of God. And I found my eyesight to be so perfect. I remember looking at a tree about a quarter mile away, and I was just curious about the leaves because they were slightly different than what I'd seen on Earth. And as soon as I had the thought, I zeroed in, not only like binoculars or even a telescope, but I was curious about what all this humming and this beautiful music was. And I saw down to the cellular level, and I saw the molecules just vibrating. And I realized that every single plant, every different plant had a different vibration, almost frequency, almost sound, that contributed to a whole orchestration of a beautiful sound that just permeated everything.
It was like a symphony.
It was like a symphony. I mean, the grass had a certain sound to it, the different flowers, the trees, it all was like that.
What about the family pets that
the
you saw there? That's the thing that's very curious to me.
People sometimes want to know if animals are in heaven, and I remind them that Elijah was taken away by a chariot of fire and the horses,
right,
drawing that, and Jesus returns on it, you know, with horses. We had a golden retriever named Abby. My apologies to anybody named Abby out there, but our golden retriever was named Abby, who was hit by a school bus January 3rd of 1989. And we prayed, our children were younger, that she'd be in heaven. And we took it from that perspective that there are horses in heaven, so why not dogs? Well, suddenly we're standing there, and suddenly I see this rustling through the grass. And I couldn't quite see because the grass was so tall. But suddenly at the river's edge was Abby, our golden retriever, and my pet monkey that I had when I was 14 named Tilly, a little squirrel monkey. And they jumped. In fact, Tilly was on Abby's back, jumped the river all 50 feet in one bound, and came over and sat down. And she had her tongue out, not because she was tired, just, you know, a dog. And she looked up at me, and suddenly I heard her thoughts. And she said, where's Barb and the boys?
So they can communicate in heaven.
Well, that's what I looked at my angel, and as soon as I looked at him, he said, in heaven, you're given access to the Father's unlimited knowledge as you have need, because it's governed by love. And, you know, in the writings of Josephus, the Jewish historian, he says that he writes it as the animals could talk to Adam and Eve, and that there was communication. I believe what Adam walked in was the supernatural power of God, that he had words of knowledge and he had access to God's knowledge.
You know what also fascinates me is at times a window, when he's speaking, a window will open up, and it's a window to heaven. Tell me one time it opened up and what happened.
Well, this is oftentimes when ministering, this particular time was a lady who had lost her husband about a year earlier. And suddenly I saw my angel standing next to her. And so I said, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "The Father wants her to know some things." And suddenly in the living room was a huge window, looked like a widescreen TV or something like that, and I saw into heaven. And I saw her husband, who I met once, walking along. He had his back to me. He was walking along with an older man that I just knew was his father. And they're walking along the river of life. And I asked my angel who I was seeing, and he mentioned this man's name. And I said, "Who's the other man?" And he said, "His father." And I said, "Well, what are they talking about?" And he said, "It's none of your business. But I can tell you that they are talking about things that happened earlier in their lives, and they're reconciling and having a chance to go over some of these things."
That's an amazing thing. John, would you pray to activate the spiritual senses of the people that are watching right now?
Sure. And that's exactly the case. It's a matter of Paul saying that he wants to impart a share of what he has. And so I want to do that with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be given to our viewers. That as you, Lord, imparted to me the knowledge and the sensitivity to the things of the Spirit, I ask also, Father, that they would be sensitive, that you would give them a sensitivity, that their mind would be able to pick up and discern what is in their spirit. And Father, I ask for that anointing to go out. Right now, there's somebody in a recliner, and just to your right, you feel a denser sense of the presence of God. An angel feels like a person anointed by the Spirit, but there's more of a density to it, more of a weightiness, a heavy, not heavy in a negative, heavy in a very depth of spiritual truth to it. And that person in the recliner right now, they're just touching your shoulder and giving you some words and giving you some reassurance. It's somebody that you aren't sure that's in heaven, and the Father's saying that they are in heaven. In fact, your little kick thing is up on your recliner. You're sitting back on it. But Father, I ask for that all over in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Sensitivity.
I'm just plain curious. Do you see any angels right now, and what are they doing on the set?
Yes, I do, and they're standing.
How are they dressed?
Well, the one behind you has on robe. It almost is like a velour. If I could use that, I don't know if it's velour or heavy cotton. Sometimes they wear different types of materials, different colors of materials. But these looks like robe and an overlayment of robe, like longer one and then a coat kind of a jacket.
And are there some behind you right now?
Yeah, I can sense them. Obviously, I can't see them, but yeah, I can feel them.
Well, you know something? Whether you experience an angel or not, I want you to experience the greatest experience a human can have, and that is experiencing the love of God touching your spirit and having God Himself live inside of you. It's so simple, you need help to be confused. You simply recognize that compared to an holy God, you're a sinner. And you ask God to forgive you because of Jesus. And then you ask Jesus to live inside of you and become your Lord, in your own words. And He loves you so much that it's His love that is pouring through your television or computer right now. It's His peace that's pouring through your television or computer right now. It's His compassion that is healing you right now. Just raise your hands, they're holy right now, and tell God how much you love Him. Do that right now. He deserves it.